Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Remain standing. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And then we'll turn to yet one other verse in just a moment. But Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. I'll read verse 18. And you can just join me on verses 19 and 20 aloud with me, if you will. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Oh, that's probably about 7,500 pages to the right there. Acts chapter 1. We're going to read one verse together, all in unison. Acts chapter 1. We're going to read verse number 8 together. Acts 1, verse number 8. You ready? Let's read together. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Thank you for your presence here. Now, Holy Spirit of God, would you speak to our hearts? Lord, I am a sinner. I am nothing more than that. But I am your servant, and I am in need of you working through me. There are so many people here that no one human being could meet all the need, but you sure could do it through your word and through your man. Would you please help me today? Would you fill me? Would you fill our people with your power as they listen so that we might get what you have for us today in Jesus' name? Amen, and you may be seated. I'm excited today that it is called Great Commission Sunday here in our spring program. You see, every day at Grace Baptist Church is a Great Commission Day. That's what our church was founded on. That's what our church will remain as long as I got breath in my lungs and what little sanity I have in my head. We'll have it that way. I have been an independent, fundamental Baptist, soul-winning, bus-running Baptist for 46 years, and I'm 45 years old. You say, that can't be. I went to church for 9 months before I was born. Trust me, it can happen. All right? I have been this way my whole life. I have heard hundreds of messages on Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and Acts chapter 1, and we call it the Great Commission. I've heard it every missions program. I've heard it every spring or fall program. I heard it in Bible college. I've taught it. I've been a part of it. And today, I want to help you. I have been studying recently and getting ready for today. And by the way, anybody that tells you they discovered a new truth, don't believe them. There's no such thing as new truth. God gave us all the truth right here. It's called the King James Bible. Okay, there's no word of knowledge. There's no new truth. It's old truth. You just finally got the light shined on the right part of it to see it the way God says it. Today, I want to help you. This truth is for you. It doesn't matter if you are not even saved yet. We'll take care of that in a little while. It doesn't matter if you're just a new Christian. I know we got some folks just got baptized last Sunday. They're back and growing, and I'm excited about it. It's for them. It's for you. Old codgers have been saved longer than Noah's been alive. Amen. It's for everybody in the room. Today, I want to put my finger on why Baptist churches have survived the last 2,000 years. Today, I want to show you why our commission is so great. We call it the Great Commission, but what makes our commission so great? Listen with me for a moment. The last words of Jesus after Calvary. See, Jesus had spent 33 and a half years here. They crucified him at Calvary. He died 3 days and three nights later, as we talked about at Resurrection Sunday. He got up out of the grave, amen? And he walked the face of the earth for 40 days after that, and he is about to go back to heaven and stay there until the rapture, which has not yet happened, but going to any day now. Now, wait a minute. What were those last words? What would Jesus say? Will he say, I love you? Will he tell his disciples how proud of them he is? We put a lot of stock in people's last words. It was my joy and my pleasure for many years to serve the great late Dr. Jack Hiles. I worked with him. He was my boss. He was my pastor. He was my hero. Just a rare man. I remember the last words I said to him before he died. That Friday morning was his last morning in the office. He'd had a heart attack that week and nobody knew. I stayed after prayer meeting that morning in his office and he said, Craig, I hate to ask you this, but would you pick up my briefcase and put it on the desk for me? He said, I'm having a little trouble with my back. I said, I'd love to, preacher. I picked up his briefcase and put it on the desk for him, a few other things he needed. I asked my questions, and as has been my custom always for the man of God that I worked for, I looked at him and said, before I left, I said, preacher, I love you. And he said, I love you too, Craig. Those are the last words I ever spoke to him. Boy, am I glad I said, I love you. Yeah. I'm glad the last words I heard him say is, I love you too, Craig. I remember those last words like they were yesterday, though it's been 11 years now. It's amazing. Almost, well, I guess it's been 12 years now. Good night. What will Jesus say? What will he do? Will he talk to the disciples and maybe charge them up? Maybe he'll philosophize a little with them one last time. Maybe he'll give them some deep nugget of truth to think on that will be philosophical. Maybe he's going to tell them when he's coming back. No. What will these last words be? Both in Matthew 28 and Acts chapter 1, we have these last words. Both of those chapters, he says, I want you to go win people to Christ, bring them to church, get them baptized. After they're baptized, teach them how to go out, win people to Christ, to bring them to church, to get them baptized, to teach them how to go out, win people to Christ, bring them to church, get them baptized, to teach them how to go out. And he said, that's what I want you to do. That is the process by which God was going to perpetuate the church. That's God's plans. He said, by the way, you can't go to the wrong place. He said, I want you to start in Jerusalem. Then I want you to go to Judea, then Samaria, then the uttermost part of the earth. He said, I want you to take care of your local area. Then I want you to work on your state. Then I want you to work on your country. And after you got that nailed down, then I want you sending people all over the world. By the way, that's why I have Brother Barnes here, because he's a church planner in the state of Maine. I'm working on helping us save our country. Amen. By the way, if we don't save America, we're not going to have the money to send missionaries all around the world. If we don't take care of Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, we're not going to have the money to send them around the world. I believe in starting churches in America as much as I believe in starting churches in Africa, in Brazil, in Europe, in China, and everywhere else around the world. It's just as important for us to keep things strong back here in America. And by the way, 3/4 of that Great Commission talks about our country. So many churches want to pay somebody else to go do their soul winning in some other place, and they won't do it in their church. God says, you take care of your country first. You get soul winning. You get people involved. You get them to church. You get them baptized. And then you can finance my work where you can't go. So many times we would... Please don't get mad at me, visitors, but hang on. You'll get really mad at me in a little while. So many times we want to be Catholic and pay our way through this thing. We want to pay somebody else to do what we're supposed to do. God says, no, you do it. You do it. You do it. Now listen to me. What makes, by the way, that is called the Great Commission. You get saved, you go out, you win people to Christ, you get them baptized, teach them to go out, get people saved, bring them to church, get them baptized, teach them to go out, win people to Christ, bring them to church, get them baptized. That's called the Great Commission. What makes the charge of this commission so great? Is it the immensity or the bigness of the task? I don't think so. Is it the weakness or the sinfulness of we the followers? I don't think so. Why is it the hardest thing for all of us Christians to do? Why have so many Christians stopped doing the Great Commission? Why? Why do some churches only emphasize one part of the Great Commission? I'm going to make a statement. Grace Baptist Church is not going to be only a soul-winning Baptist church. We are going to be a Great Commission Baptist church. Soul-winning is only one part of the Great Commission. I know churches that see a lot of people saved, but their church doesn't grow because they don't finish out the Great Commission. God didn't command us just to be a soul winner. He commanded us to be Great Commissioned. He gave us something that if you told your child, if I said, Brother Matt, I want you to stand up, I want you to walk down off the platform and sit at the piano. Now I want you to stand up, walk off the platform, and sit at the piano. Has he obeyed me yet? He only did one third of what I asked him to do, right? He hasn't obeyed me till he steps off the platform and sits down at the piano. I'm not going to ask him to play. For your pleasure and for mine. That's the Great Commission. Come on back up here, Brother Matt. If all he does is stand up, he's only accomplished one third of it and he's not obeyed. A church that only goes soul winning and does not finish out the Great Commission, guess what? They're not obeying God. Thank you, Brother Matt. Have a seat. I want our church to please God. I have said this before. I'll say it again. God is the pastor of Grace Baptist Church, and I'm not God, just so you know. I plan on being God's assistant pastor, though you call me pastor, though I hold that title, I look to God to lead this church. By the way, I'm not going anywhere. God called me here, I'm staying here. The only way I'm leaving this place is in a box, amen? And laying on my back, cold in death. And I don't plan on that happening anytime soon. The only other way I'm leaving is the rapture, and I'll let Brother Lowther take care of it after then, all right? It's okay, he's got to get over his drunkenness first. Y'all have to ask him about that story. Can I tell it, Brother Jerry? Too late. I was talking to him on the telephone the other day, and Brother Jerry's got MS, and he's got a cane. And he and I were talking, and he was at the store. He was looking at the coffee, he says. He doesn't remember much about it after that, though. But he was talking to me on the phone, had his cane under his arm, and I got him giggling on the phone. He kind of backed up, and you know he's not real steady anyway. And his cane knocked off a bottle of wine in the store behind him and hit the floor and exploded all over him. It's a good thing he didn't get stopped on the way home, or he'd been in a lot of trouble by the police, because he can't walk a straight line when he's not drunk, amen? So I got a deacon that's got to get right with God today. Now, wait a minute. I want God to be pleased with our church. I do. I don't mean this arrogantly, people. I really don't care what anybody else in the country says. I want God pleased. You say, what are people saying? I don't know. I'm listening to what he says. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm not looking to build a nationwide ministry. I'm looking to build Grace Baptist Church. I want God pleased with what happens here. But I want us to be a Great Commission church. You see, not just a soul winning church. I want us to have people saved. I was meeting with our insurance man yesterday, and I showed him our soul winning statistics. He's a Baptist. He's a soul winner. I love it. Isn't it great to have business like that? And he looked at me and tears running down his face. He said, Brother Bush, I don't know of another new church like yours anywhere in America doing this. He said, I love it. He said, I'm glad I get to have a part of your church. By the way, he has done everything he can to save this church money with our insurance. And you'll find out he has done an awful lot for us. I want to see our converts baptized. But that's not the Great Commission. Here's what most of you think. Here's a lost man. You can put your Bible down. You don't read it anyway. It's just for show anyway. It's no go. I go out and I win him to Christ. I bring him to church. Then he puts on a blue Smurf suit that he's not going to do right now. Then we bring him over here. Dip him. Then I baptize him. Then he stays in church. And we think we've finished the Great Commission. That's not it. That was like before him getting up and stepping off the platform but not sitting down at the piano. That's only two-thirds of it. The Great Commission is me teaching him to go out and grab a convert, get him to church, win him to the Lord, take him over to the baptistry without killing the preacher. We get him baptized. Don't do it, fellas. Come on back up here. Hang on. We're not done.
Right.
That's not completing the Great Commission. It's his turn to go out and grab him a convert. That's a good one to grab, too. Win him to the Lord. By the way, hang on. At that moment, I just finished the Great Commission. When my convert has a convert who's getting converts saved and baptized. That's the finishing of the Great Commission. It's not when he got baptized and started going soul winning. It doesn't complete till he's completed the cycle for me. Thank you, man. You can all have a seat there. And thank you for not dunking each other. That, my friend, is the Great Commission. I've been in Baptist churches my whole life. I rarely ever saw anybody preach it the right way. What is a commission? We use that term, Great Commission. You don't find it in Scripture. The word commission is a military term. Those of you that were in the armed services, you got your orders. You got your commission. You got your mission. They were orders that were sent down from an authority above you telling you what you were supposed to do. Can I tell you something? That is what a commission is. It is us doing what a higher authority told us to do. Now watch this. Sunday school is important. I think every Christian ought to come to Sunday school. You say, why? That's training time to learn to go out and reach people and bring them to church and get them saved and baptized. Amen. That's what it's all about. I preach a lot to save people, not because we don't have people saved. We've had well over 400 people saved in the last 7 months of our church. This is a soul-winning church, but it's also a Great Commission church. The vast majority of people in this room are saved. Preaching what we would call evangelistic messages every week probably isn't the best thing for our church. We're not going to grow to go out and reach more people. Now, on April 28th, I plan on us having a bunch of lost people here, amen? And I'll preach an evangelistic, more so evangelistic message. I'm good with that. But most of the time, I'm preaching mostly to Christians, not to lost people. Now, you put me out on a street corner, I'm going to preach a salvation message. You better believe it. So you'd preach on a street corner, I've done it many a time. Many a time. But I think you ought to come to Sunday school. I think you ought to come to church. I think you ought to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You say, why? That's where you're going to grow so that you can become a Great Commission Christian. You can follow that plan of reaching somebody, getting them to church, getting them baptized, teaching them to go out to get people saved, to get them baptized, to teach them to go out and get people saved and baptized. By the way, isn't that how God wanted us to do it? How has the church been alive for over 2,000 years? By the way, a Baptist church, not a Catholic church. Catholic church didn't start till 313 AD under Constantine. They don't go all the way back to Peter. Hate to disappoint you, we're not Protestants. Protestants are those who protested the Catholic Church and came out of the Catholic Church in the 1500s. Baptists had been around since the day of Jesus. Matthew chapter 10, when he started the church, who baptized Jesus? A man named John the Baptist. That was not his last name. Baptist wasn't his last name. Okay? We'll pick up on church history later. Amen? But folks, that's how the church has stayed alive. Do you know how businesses grow? Businesses grow because Brother Gus has an electrical business. He goes out and he gets a customer. He does the work for that customer, gets paid. Guess what? He doesn't live off that the rest of his life. Amen? He's got to go out and get new customers. Can I tell you who some of the best customers he has are? The satisfied customers who give him customers. And the more satisfied customers who give him customers, the more business he has, the more his business grows, by the way. And the more they get satisfied, the more they tell other people. Isn't that what you grow a business by? Can I tell you something? I don't mean to demean the work of the Lord, but the church as a business goes out and gets satisfied customers. We got to go out and reach them, bring them here. They got to try to like me. That's a difficult task sometimes. And we got to try to keep them here so that they can go out and reach more customers. I don't look at it in dollars and cents, just so you know. I look at it in people's souls. Never dying souls going to heaven or hell someday. It's not a matter of money. It's not a matter of business. It's a matter of reaching people, keeping the church going, doing it the way God told us to do it. I've been preaching for 32 years, folks. I started preaching when I was 13 years old. Now listen to me very carefully. I cannot stand here. Oh, I could stand for 2 hours and teach on baptism. I could show you from Scripture why, how, when, where, all that. But speaking as a human being, it doesn't make a lot of sense, Brother Barnes, to go over here, put on a little blue Smurf suit, jump in water, have somebody dunk me under the water, bring me back up, and God says that I've obeyed him. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You're right. But I do know this, once you start obeying him, growing in the Christian life becomes a whole lot easier. If I had a God I could understand, I would be greater than that God. Maybe there's some things I'm not supposed to understand because his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He is so much higher than we are, you're not going to understand it all. I'm not one of those preachers that thinks we need to put you through an 8-week course after you get saved before you get baptized. Well, we have to train them so that they know what they're doing. No, God says, obey me. When I tell my kids to obey, I'm not going to sit there for 3 weeks and tell them why I want them to obey me. I expect them to obey me. You say, why? Because that's what a parent does to a child. By the way, that's what you're supposed to do for your children. They're supposed to obey you. May I say this? When God said, after you get saved, the first thing you do is get baptized, you get baptized. You don't have to go through an 8-week course. Baptism is a picture of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You don't get baptized by somebody doing this. The word baptized means to cover. You don't get covered with somebody sprinkling or pouring on your head. Okay? That's Catholic. Jesus went down into the Jordan River and was baptized, put under the water and brought back up. If they were going to baptize Jesus by sprinkling, why did they go down into the water? He wouldn't have had to get his feet, knees, and legs wet to get water trickled on his head. They could have dipped it out in a bucket or a cup and done that. He went down into the water. Say why? Because that's what baptism is. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I say it this way. My wedding ring. If I take my wedding ring off, can't get it off right now. It's been on for 24 years. Why take it off? Amen? But if I took my ring off, would I still be married? Yes or no? People know I'm married because I wear it. That's what baptism is. It's a picture. It's a symbol. It's you saying, I have trusted Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection to take me to heaven, and I am identifying with it. It is a public way of humiliating myself to tell everybody, look, I am a Christian. It takes some humility to do it. By the way, if I don't wear that, I'm still married. You can still go to heaven and not be baptized. You just won't be obedient. If I took my ring off and never wore it again, my wife wouldn't be real happy. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Amen. And she shouldn't be. Say, why? Because it's almost like I'm afraid to identify with her. I'm not. She was the pretty little blonde on the end here that sang in the group a little while ago. Yeah, that one was mine. Say, why? Because I identify with her. I'm pleased to. Guess what? I identify with Jesus. Amen. I'm not afraid of that. Now listen to me. That's what the Great Commission is. Who is the Great Commission to? Number two, the word commission means a group of people chosen to perform specified duties. People given authority to act for another. Guess who the Great Commission was given to? The saved. Jesus looked at his disciples. He looked at the multitude that had been saved and said, look, you are to go out, win people to Christ, bring them to church, get them baptized, and teach them to go and do the same thing. That is what your commission is. And he said, that is to you. Guess what? The lost world is not going to do that. An unsaved man is not going to go out and tell others about Jesus. He might use Jesus' name, more like Bobby Knight, but he's not going to talk about him the way we are. Some of you all don't know who Bobby Knight is, I can tell. I'm in West Virginia territory. He was a basketball coach for the state of Indiana, the Indiana Hoosiers, amen? He talked about God a lot, but you wouldn't want to hear him say it. Okay? He's the guy that threw the chair that one day. Okay. Jesus told the saved people in the book of Acts that they were the ones to do it. It is the job of every Christian to be a soul winner, bringing people to church, helping them get baptized. Say, well, I don't know what to tell them. You just win them to Christ, bring them to church. We'll take care of the rest. Amen? It's real easy. It's real easy. I've been trained. I have been around some of the big heroes of the past. I've been around people who have trained in soul winning that said, look, after you win them to Christ, sit down with them in their home, take 3 hours, show them from the scripture exactly what to expect, when they get to church, how to do it. Good night. I've scared more people away doing that than anything. What's the first thing they need to do? Come to church. Just get them to church. Say, you're trying to hide it from them. I'm not trying to hide nothing from nobody. Y'all come here for about the first 10 minutes, you find out everything's out on the table. It's military chow, amen? You hold it out, we flop it on. Like it or lump it, you're going to eat it. This isn't Ryan's buffet where you choose what you want, amen? What happens on that side, you have a vote. What happens on this side, only God has a vote. Now, wait a minute. It's to every Christian. By the way, it doesn't say to every adult Christian. It says to every Christian. Do you know that teenagers can win people to Christ, bring them to church, get them down the aisle, get them baptized, and go out and win some more? Do you know that boys and girls can do the same thing? Say, are you against people taking their children out soul winning? God train them sometime. The world wants to train them in the wrong things awful early. We all need to reproduce our Christianity. Boy, don't get mad at me with this. I'm going to make a statement that's going to make somebody mad. Liberalism is like sodomy. Liberalism cannot reproduce of itself. it has to reproduce off of the production of others. Do you know that communism has to allow capitalism in, or communism fails because it cannot pay its own bills? By the way, the more communist and socialist America goes, the farther in debt we go. Joseph Stalin in Russia during the 1940s and 1950s had to allow capitalism back into Russia under the government so that it could pay its bills. Communism takes away the desire to work. Liberalism does that. I don't care if it's liberal socialist, socially. I don't care if it's liberal religiously. Can I tell you something? Liberal churches do not reproduce well. Thursday this week, I was standing right back there just about where Brother Taylor and Mrs. Durbaro were sitting. The landlord of this building was here that morning. She said she went to a certain church in town. I won't tell you the name of it, but it is well known for being very, very, very liberal. And I mean very liberal, Brother Taylor. She retold me that story, amen? She said, I went to that church. I didn't want to go. I went anyway. She said, while we were there, they took an offering. They counted it, came back and said, we didn't get enough, pass the plates again. They made everybody stay. They counted it again and said, we didn't get enough, take it again. Took three offerings while they were there. Folks, that's not going to happen here. Say, what are you going to do if you don't get enough in the offering? I'm going to get a hold of God and let him take care of the rest. That's sick. That's a money-making church, not me. Don't get mad at me. That's what liberals do. Liberalism, folks, sodomy cannot reproduce itself. The best thing America could do is put all the sodomites on one island, put the male sodomites on one island, female sodomites on the other. They'll kill each other in one generation because they can't reproduce. Let them do whatever they want. It cannot reproduce. Liberalism does that. By the way, this is the statement that might get you mad, but I wonder how many Baptists are sodomites in their own spirituality where they do not reproduce. Say, that's harsh, Brother Bush. I'm just telling you what our commission is. God told you personally to go out, win people to Christ, bring them to church, get them down the aisle, and teach them how to go out and win people to Christ. It's time for us to reproduce ourselves. Did you ever notice the reproducers are the happy ones? There's some of you who look like you were weaned off dill pickle juice. Some of you look like you could suck the Coke out of the bottom of the Coke bottle without a straw, amen? Good night. Happy people are reproducing people. Did you ever see a brand new mama? The Yorks are here. Let's see, who else had a baby? The Barneses. Remember how happy they were? Yeah, look here. Yeah, you don't know how much work's coming. You're happy now. Hang on. It's coming, amen? Look at me for a second. Did you ever see brand new parents? They're really, really, really happy. Say why? Because, man, that's their baby. Some of you took it literally like you were supposed to replenish the whole earth yourself. It's fine. I'm not doing that, all right? Three strikes, you're out. I played baseball. I wasn't playing football with an 11-man team, amen? Not doing that. My daddy taught me to leave room for myself at the table, and there's five chairs at that table, amen? And one of them's already out of the house, okay? Another one leaving in the fall to go to college. Glory to God. Now, wait a minute. Some of you are so happy about your children. Hey, grandparents, y'all know what I'm talking about? There's big old Brother Jeff back there with his arm around his little granddaughter. You talk about a big squishy teddy bear, that's him when he's talking about his grandkids. Say, why? That's my grandkid. Let me ask you a question. Where's your spiritual grandkids? Some of you are real fast to show us the picture of your kids and your grandkids. Where's your spiritual kids and grandkids? Happy people are productive people. Can I tell you the happiest people where you work? The ones that are doing something. The complainers, the whiners, and the backstabbers are the ones that don't do work. That's why when you go to work, work. Grace Baptist Church ought to have the hardest working people anywhere in the area. By the way, if you are, you'll be the happiest people. If you're busy working, you're too busy to tell us what the boss isn't doing. Now, the whole sermon. The greatness of the commission. It's not what it is. It's not even to whom it is. The greatness of the commission, listen to the statement, comes because of the power and the authority behind it. It is based off the power and the authority of the one giving the commission. Did you notice Matthew 28? We always use verse 18. But you never hear it preached on. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Acts chapter 1. But ye shall receive what? Power. After that the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. The greatness of the Great Commission, it's not what it is or to whom it is, it's who it's from. Do you realize when you go out soul winning, you represent the God of heaven? You have as much authority as God in heaven at that moment. You have the Holy Spirit of God working through you to talk to that lost person to do what you cannot do on your own. Do you know that soul winning is the biggest miracle? People say, are there still miracles today? Yeah, anytime anybody gets saved, it's a miracle. Have you ever knocked on, told a stranger's door? They open the door. You talk to them about a God you have never seen, about a heaven that you have never been to, about their sin that you don't even know what it was, but you know that they're a sinner, about a hell that you've never been to. Tell them about a Jesus that you've never talked to, face to face, never met personally. Expect them to trust somebody that they've never seen to take them to a place that you've never seen. And they bow their head and trust Jesus Christ at the door like that. That's called a miracle. That's called something God does, not you. Human beings cannot do that unless they've been given the authority and the power by a greater authority. And when you go out and talk to lost people, you have the authority of Jesus Christ and God the Father behind you. Have a seat, Brother Matt. Folks, the commission is only as strong as the authority behind it. There is no greater authority than God. Some of you are so afraid to go out and tell somebody about Jesus. Can I tell you something? God has empowered you to do it. There's nothing to be afraid of. Say, well, you're just a bold person. I'm not by nature. You get me behind this book preaching it, I can be bold. You say, why? Because I have the authority of God behind me to do it. When I knock on doors, I'm just like you. I don't know about you, Brother Barnes. First thing I do when I knock on a door, my mind says, I hope they're not home. Man, I hope they're not here. I don't want to talk to somebody. You say, you're a preacher. Yeah, I'm afraid of people just like you are. You say, how long have you been soul winning? Over 34 years. But guess what? I'm still afraid to do it. I obey it. As soon as that door opens up, something happens. Say, what happens? The power of God. I realize I represent Jesus Christ and he has told me to do this and I can step up and do it. Now, I have that track in my hand. Get up here, lost person. You need it more than anybody. And I say, hello, sir. My name's Craig Bush. I'm pastor of Grace Baptist Church. Do you get to go to church anywhere regular? You're just the man I'm looking for. Man, something starts working up inside me called the Holy Spirit of God. I've got the authority of God behind me. I start talking to him about church. I start talking to him about the fact that he's a sinner, needs to get saved, or he's going to die and go to hell. I show him from the authority of the scriptures what God says. And in a few minutes, that man bows his head, trusts Jesus Christ as his Savior, and gets saved. Amen? Now, wait a minute. That's the authority of God. Say, what would you do if you were representing yourself? Hide. I don't like it. Y'all think this pastoring thing's easy. You ought to have about 10,000 of these with your picture all over the county. I walked into Sheets the other day. About 6:30 in the morning. A lady behind the counter, she did this. Yeah, my pants weren't ripped. My zipper was up. My belt was buckled. I thought, what's the matter here? I got to the cash register. I said, you okay, ma'am? She said, yeah. She said, you're that pastor down at Grace Baptist, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. How'd you know? She had about 6 tracks behind the cash register. I thought, I don't get to give one out this morning. Hey, everywhere I go, people know who I am. And if not, they're about to, amen? Thank you. You know, in 7 months, this church has given out over 15,000 tracts. Y'all are killing me in tract production, amen? It's okay, keep giving them, I'll keep buying them. You say, why? Because we're doing what God wants us to do. That was not the morning that I went to Sheets. Got a cup of coffee. I got a large coffee. Amen, Brother York? I was tired. Matter of fact, it was Thursday morning. I'd gotten to bed at after 2 o'clock in the morning and been up before 5:30. I couldn't sleep. I got to Sheets. I was getting in my truck, had a large coffee and my keys in that hand. I was getting in, holding on to the door in this hand, went like this to set my coffee down, and I dropped that thing on the floorboard of my truck, and every drop of a large coffee went on the passenger seat floor. And I said, that wasn't funny. I said, what'd you do? I picked up the cup, put the lid back on it, threw it in the trash can, went back in, got another large coffee, filled it up. I went back to the cash register. The lady looked at me. I said, I decided I didn't want that one and threw it all over my truck floor. She said, the whole thing? I said, the whole thing. She said, sir, just take that one. I said, no, 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 I'll pay for it. She said, a man that's had a morning like that needs a free coffee. I said, you know what? You're right. I got a free coffee out of it, amen? I got to clean my truck floor, but hey, can I tell you something? The authority behind our commission is what makes it great. It's not what the mission is. It's not to whom the mission is given. It is the fact that we represent the God of heaven. We have the Holy Spirit of God that will empower us to give the message of God, word from word, from the word of God, to man that needs it. Can I tell you something? When you go knock on a door, you don't have to apologize. I don't think you ought to be rude. I don't think you ought to be arrogant. I think you ought to be genial. I think you ought to be a good personality. I don't think you ought to be bossy. I think you ought to be a decent human being. But when you go there, you ought to have a confidence about you that says, that person's got something that I need. That person has something that's got authority behind it, and I want that. Our boldness is not arrogance. It's because we have the authority of God behind us. Some of you may not understand confidence. Some people call confidence arrogance. It's not arrogance. Arrogance is when you say, look at me. Confidence is when you say, I'm doing what God wants me to do. Like it or lump it. You need to give out the gospel. You need to be confident when you do it. By the way, that's why this weak need lifestyle evangelism stuff's garbage. Say, what's lifestyle evangelism? That's this new liberal Christianity that says, well, you just live like a Christian and people are going to flock to you. And they're going to ask you, what must I do to be saved? Gag. Jesus did not commission us to live like Christians so that people would flock to us to be saved. In your lifestyle evangelism churches, they don't take lifestyle evangelism offerings. The pastor doesn't get up and write a check and put it in the plate and wait for people to walk up and put more in. And by the way, this pastor tithes, just so you know. I'm not afraid of it. I'm a Christian before I was a pastor. I'm supposed to obey God too. Everybody doing okay? God gave us the Holy Spirit and His power, not for us, but to see other people get saved. Now watch this. We're supposed to reach our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the earth. Our Judea is our Martinsburg area here. Our Judea is Berkeley and Jefferson County because we're right here on the border, amen? Our Samaria is our state and our local area, and the uttermost part of the earth is the rest of the world. Again, that's why I've got Brother Barnes here tonight. Say, why? I believe in church planting in America. We've got some upper regions of our country that Baptist churches have dropped the ball in. We're not going there. Well, it's cold. God didn't say take the gospel where it's warm. He said take it everywhere. We were sitting at supper last night. We were talking about Maine. And I said, yeah, my in-laws live in Minnesota. And we were talking about it. I Googled on my phone. It was 24 degrees where my in-laws live last night. Bless God, they can have every last bit. They had a snowstorm this week. They've got another one coming tonight. Thank God it's them. But you know what? They need the gospel up there too. I could take you to places in Minnesota. You could drive for 5 hours and never find a church that preaches out of that book right there. And it's sick. We need to go out and reach them all. I'm done. Let me ask you a question. Will you follow orders from God? Will you fulfill the great commission God has given you? Let me ask you a question. Maybe you're visiting today. Maybe you've been here and you've been playing church. Let me ask you a question. If you die today, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? You cannot fulfill the Great Commission if you're dying and on your way to hell. If you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, there's a way you can know that for sure. Say, how do you know that? I have people all the time tell me, there's no way you could know that for sure. If I can't know it for sure, God's a liar. And guess what? God cannot lie. Jesus came, was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He was crucified at Calvary. He shed his blood at the cross for you and for me. 3 days and three nights later, he got up out of the grave. He paid your sin debt and my sin debt for you. It's already paid. Say, well, then why do I have to do something? All you have to do is accept it. Just receive it. You can't earn it. If you're trying to live a good life, guess what? You're trying to be God. If you're trusting a baptism to take you there, that's something you do. It won't take you there. Jesus paid the price. You have to receive what he did for you. But may I say this? Some of you have been saved, but you've never been baptized. Today we can take care of it. Got everything you need right here. Now, if you're under the age of 18, you'll have to go home and get a permission slip signed by mama and daddy, because in the day and age we live, we're not baptizing minors without parental permission. Say, that shouldn't be. Well, it might not shouldn't be, but I'm not going to jail over that, and I've watched preachers do that. I want to make sure moms and dads know what their children are doing. I think that's the right thing to do. I think it's the appropriate thing to do. But may I say this? You need to obey God with your baptism. Some of you might need to join this church. I've never forced anybody, not going to force anybody. We're here whether you join or not, amen? I want you here as long as you come. But some of you need to decide you're going to get active. Some of you have been saved, baptized, and joined the church, but you haven't won one person to Christ in the last 10 years. Say, well, I'd do it if God's willing. The Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's willing. How about you do it? Well, I just don't know how. Come, we'll train you. And then you're going to get your convert to church, get them baptized, and then you're really going to be wound up. Say why? Because then you're going to teach their convert how to get somebody saved, how to get them baptized, get them church. And you talk about having kids and grandkids, it's fun. Some of you just need to decide you're going to follow the greatness of the Great Commission and realize it's not you, it's God. Folks, the commission is not given by Grace Baptist Church. It's given by God. It's not given by Brother Bush. It was given by God. And you have all the authority of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit behind you to fulfill it. Guess we shouldn't be afraid of it then, should we? So what's so great about our commission? Oh, it's what the job is. It's to whom it was given. But the greatness of the Great Commission is the authority behind it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, Brother Bush, if I die today, I am 100% sure. I won't lie to you. I won't lie to God, but I am 100% sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand, please? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you for your honesty. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not come to you. I'll not ask somebody to come to you. But who would say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure. I am not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I'll not embarrass you no more than I did those. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Somebody else. God bless you. Somebody else. All right. Who'd say, Brother Bush, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. I'm not saying you'll do it today, but you'd raise your hand and say, I've not been baptized by immersion in a Baptist church, and I need to be. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. There's one, two, three, four. Good. You can put your hands down. Who would say, Brother Bush, I've not been fulfilling the Great Commission? Something you said today, the Lord has pricked my heart on it. And there's some things in my life that need to be fixed up and changed so that I do that. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores and scores of hands all over this building. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we do, the piano will begin to play. At that time, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, now's the day. Now's the time. Don't walk off of this property not knowing for sure you're going to heaven. If you've been saved and you need to be baptized, you come forward. We'll take care of that today. Maybe you just need to come and use this altar and pray. Whatever your need, you come.